Yamadagay, Gimbe, Bidipi, Baray. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people who stayed into this land. I would like to pay respect to the elders both past and present and extend that respect to all listeners of King's Kids.
Hello, I'm Heidi and welcome to King's Kids. Last week, Tony Denison was chatting with Doug Stanton, an Australian evangelist who now lives in the US. Doug and his wife were in Australia for a series of meetings last year, and Tony caught up with them when they passed through Port Macquarie. This week, Tony is talking with Karen Stanton, and she explains how a larrikin kid from Orange ended up a pastor's wife.
Hi, Karen Stanton is my special guest today, and I would like Karen to tell us your story.
It's good to be here, Tony, and for those of you that might have heard my husband, he shared a little bit about the time when we first got married. And for those of you that don't know, we've been in ministry for probably about 30 years together as a married couple. But, you know, we weren't always doing that, and we weren't always on the road and ministering around the place.
Last week, Doug Stanton touched on his marriage to Karen, and here's an excerpt from what he said.
I married my wife when she was just a kid, basically. I'm 9 years older than her, and you know, she came with me, and we pioneered a church for a honeymoon. And she was still a little raw. She was straight out of the world and a little on the worldly side, you know. And I'd been a Christian for 10 years and dressed nice and parted on the right, you know, my hair, and did everything nice and walk over glass for people, and she'd tell them off, you know. So it took a little while for us to walk the way we're walking today.
Now Karen continues her side of the story.
I was born and bred in a little town out west called Orange, and a bit of a wild one. And although I did actually grow up going to a mainline church, I never really heard anything about the fact that Jesus really died for me and that my life could be very different. It was sort of a service. You'd go in and out in an hour. You know, if you're a good kid, you'd sit there and you'd get to go out for lunch or something afterwards, and that's all you're usually thinking about, not about what the preacher was saying. So ultimately, in my life, grew up as a teenager and, you know, started mixing with a bit of a bad crowd, and ultimately, you know, ended up with this boyfriend that would beat me up, and I was raped when I was 14, and so, you know, end up with a bit of a chip on your shoulder and end up just hating people in general and wondering why, but all the time knowing that there's something a little bit more to life, but not really knowing what it is. And so, you know, ultimately went on and married a lovely Aboriginal guy, had a baby, but then about 16 months down the track, he decided he was done being married and he went walkabout. So I was left with a little baby and with my heart absolutely broken. I was absolutely devastated. And, you know, I come to a point in my life that I thought, I don't even want to live, but I had a little beautiful little baby girl, and I thought, there's got to be more to life than this. But I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what the answer was, and I didn't know where to go to find the answer. My mum and dad had moved out of that particular church that we were in, and they had really gotten saved by the Spirit of God and really found the true answer that is Jesus today. And they'd gone to this church out there in Orange, and there was this awesome pastor there. His name was Doug Stanton.
Was he good-looking?
I thought he was pretty good.
Was he good-looking?
I thought he was all right. But anyway, that's sort of not why I went there. But they said, come along. And I said, well, but what's there? I've been to church before and I didn't find anything there. It was boring as anything. Like watching paint wall dry on the wall was more exciting than going to that church, because it didn't even seem relevant for today. And so, you know, they said, just come along and see, and if you don't like it, you don't have to come back. So I thought, oh, all right, I'll go in. And I walked in, and this place, you know, I could just feel the love of God there, but I didn't know that's what it was. I just knew it was really different. And people seemed happy and people seemed content. And I thought, these people are different than the people I've known in church before. There's something here that I've never experienced before. So even though it was scary as anything, I just kept going along. And then one day the preacher was talking about giving my heart and giving my life over to Jesus. And, well, I thought, if that's what the answer is, that must be what I'm missing. So I thought, I'm going to do that. So I walked up the front and they prayed for me, and I just felt so much peace come into my life, and I felt so different than I had before. It's like you walk outside and the grass is greener and the sky's bluer and the birds look more colourful. You know, that's what it seems like, but that's really sort of what it was like. And just the peace of God that came over to me, I had never experienced that. It was better than getting high or getting drunk or anything like that. And so I kept going along there to church and really just started to learn about the love of God and the difference that it could make in my life. And, you know, before long, I had gone in for some counselling with the pastor to try and just get over the hurts that were in my life and, you know, just to see where I stood with God with everything. And met the pastor, and I don't know, what do I say? I liked him so much, I married him.
Yeah, he's not a bad catch.
Yeah, have you heard that ad? I like the shaver so much I bought the company. But anyway, so, I mean, that's the short part of that, but God really did an amazing thing in putting us together. But I didn't know what was ahead of me. You know, it was a very big thing for me as a brand new Christian to get married to a pastor. And so after we got married, we moved out of Orange. And for our honeymoon, we actually moved to Port Macquarie and started a church. And that was our honeymoon. And as awesome as that was, there was also a very hard part of that, because all of a sudden I've gone from this girl that's been out partying and, you know, fighting and just living a bit wild. And next minute I moved to a different town and I'm this la-di-da pastor's wife, you know, and it's like, oh, great. And people are looking at me like I'm this amazing godly woman, and I didn't really know what that meant yet. And so people put all these expectations on you and expect you to be this certain lovely person and, you know, butter wouldn't melt in your mouth. And, you know, I had ladies in those early, that first year. Of course, it's the first year that I was saved and learning about this. I'd have ladies come up to me in the church and say, oh, you shouldn't be wearing that to church. That's terrible, and it's this and it's that. And, oh, pastor's wives don't dress like that. And I'm like, well, you know what, lady? And, you know, would sort of say stuff to them.
Repent later. That's yes. Say it and repent later.
I didn't quite know that that wasn't really how you were supposed to deal with people in church. That's how I just would have dealt with people before. And so that's sort of how I dealt with people. But God started to grab my heart. And, you know, but it got a little bit confusing there at one time in that first year. People would keep coming up to me all the time and putting expectations on me, and I just wasn't there yet. And they'd say to me, you should be like this, you should speak like this, you should sing like this, you should act like this. And I thought, well, God, I don't know, am I supposed to change? Am I supposed to be something that I'm not? And I went away one day. I sort of ran away even from my husband and went and sat on under a palm tree somewhere and just said, God, who do you want me to be? Because I don't know. I'm confused now. I'm trying to be this good Christian person, and I don't really know what that looks like. So who do you want me to be? And, you know, the words that he said to me just absolutely set me free, and they're the strength and the foundation of part of who I am today. And these are the words that he said to me. He said, just be yourself.
You know what? God's been telling me that since I've been saved.
Mm-hmm.
People have been trying to put me in a box, put me in labels on me and stuff like that. You know what? I don't accept people's labels.
Yeah.
I don't care what people say about me.
Yeah.
Because you know what? All I care about is what God says about me.
Yeah.
You know, God said to me the other day, he said, Tony, he said, you're my darling son. And I said, God, don't gay it up. Just say you love me.
He's such a good God. I was just so blessed when he said that to me, because that actually made sense to me. And since then, I've got just a real revelation of the fact that God made me like he made me for a reason. And that's because when he come into my heart and started living through me, he's never lived through me before on this earth. He's never lived through Pastor Tony before on this
Pastor
earth.
Pastor Flagon.
Pastor Flagon. Pastor Buck. And so that looks different for every single person. And he lives in me, and the way that I speak and the way that I talk to people and handle people and everything is unique for me and unique for all the different listeners out there today, how he works through them. And that's the awesome thing about God, is we don't have to all be cookie cutter Christians that look the same. We're actually allowed to be down to earth. And if you've got a sense of humor like Pastor Buck over here, Pastor Flagon over here, you can use it, and it touches people because you're just who you are. You're just real. And, you know, we don't have to be this la-di-da, fancy-pants, pretend people that just aren't relevant to anybody.
Well, God said to me, Tony, said, I don't, because I, when I was in prison, I all I had was Jimmy Swaggart tapes and his music and his teaching and that. And God said to me, Tony, I don't want you to be a Jimmy Swaggart or any of the others, Reinhard Bonnke. He said, I just want you to be Tony Dennison for me.
Mm.
He said, if you'll just be you for me, I can use you. But, you know, you can't pretend you're somebody else. I mean, you can't stick a broom up your backside and walk around and pretend you're something else, you know. Hold your cup of tea the wrong way and, you know, a little pinky out, right? I want a real drink of tea, and if I have a feed, I eat it like I mean it.
And that's the thing. And when we are in God, like, and for me, when I'm in God, I'm not going to do it half. I want to do it like I mean it. And, you know, God saved my life, and from just, I don't know what could have been ahead for me. I mean, I know one thing that I didn't say in my testimony is that boyfriend I talked about back before I was saved, that used to belt me up and do all sorts of things. You know, he used to always accuse me of doing all these things that I never did. I never just did them, and he always thought I was doing. So I thought, one day I'm going to follow this guy and see what he's doing, because probably what he's doing is what he's accusing me of. And sure enough, he was there, and he was with this other girl, and I just thought, oh my goodness. But the crazy thing was, at the time, you talk about shooting and stuff, I had my dad's sawn-off shotgun in the car with me, and so I decided it was time to take this guy out, that he didn't need to be here anymore. And so went down the window and did my first drive-by. And
it wasn't McDonald's.
It wasn't McDonald's. It wasn't McDonald's. But I just look at that and I think, I mean, I was used to spotlighting and shooting and stuff. It's just really lucky that I didn't hit that guy. Otherwise, I might have been joining you in the Sandstone University. Is that what you called it?
Sandstone College.
Sandstone College. And how different my life would have been if I would have ended up there. But instead, you know, God had the grace to take me through. And I look at that and I think, oh my goodness, how cold-hearted and how messed up I must have been to be able to even think about doing something like that. And today, even that guy, I know that I've forgiven him, and he could walk up to me today and I could genuinely say, hi, it's good to see you, because of just the love of God that's in my life. And, you know, the funny thing, Tony, is people think that forgiveness is an optional thing.
It's not.
But it's really not. It's something that God commands us to do, is to forgive others as he has forgiven us. And it's not an option. So, you know, I look back at that and I think, wow, his grace over my life has been so amazing. And it's just fun to get up and share the stories and different things. And people look at you and think, oh, well, she must have been a goody two-shoes all her life. And, you know, she's this little pastor's wife and lived in a glass castle or something. And when you start telling your story and people just think, you did that? You lived like that? And it's like, mm-hmm. you would never know, would you? Because God's really grabbed hold of my life and I've allowed him to change who I am and the way I think and the way I respond to people. I don't tell ladies off in church anymore.
That's good. You know, like, yeah, well, when I turn up at churches, people don't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first meetings I did here at Port Macquarie was a home fellowship, and they was all white South Africans.
Oh, wow.
And two or three of them knew I was coming. The rest didn't know I was black.
Mm.
They got the shock of their life. The Holy Spirit turned up just as well.
Wow.
There was 30 people laid out on the floor, and I was the only one standing. And this South African lady, when I sat next to her, got up and moved. And thought the black was going to come off or something, rub up against her. And and she said, "What are you going to preach on, Pastor?" I said, "Well, look, I got to deal with God. I never ask God what I'm going to preach on, because I hear from him and then I share what he tells me to you. Because otherwise, if I had to think about it, I probably wouldn't say it."
Mm, mm.
And the Lord gave her a scripture for me to preach from.
Mm.
So she had to come and sit next to me.
Wow.
To read it out of the Bible, you know what? And she was the first one touched, first one slayed in the Spirit.
Hmm.
And, you know, I spoke a word over her life and, you know, changed her life forever.
Mm.
A week later, she went out and led two kids to the Lord.
Hmm.
Never done it before. But people expect you to be something you're not. I just want to be me for Jesus. And whether I'm black, whether I don't see myself as black. Well, my grandkids, they say, "Poppy, I'm going to put white in you when I kiss you." And I say, "You can put all the white on me you want." And, you know, you can't change what you are. You can't change your past. And you can't change your past.
Yeah.
But you know what? God changes us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got a better thing to talk about now. We can talk about how great God is.
That's right.
Rather than how great the devil used to be when we was running around doing the silly things.
That's it. That's absolutely it. I just thank him for the changes that, you know, he's done in my life. I'm a very different person today than what I was way back then, and probably 30 or so years ago. And, you know, I've been able to go back to my town and talk to friends that knew me back then, and actually just met a girl just yesterday here in town. And funny thing was, she was actually with me the night that we were in the car and did that shooting. But it was amazing. I haven't seen her in 30 years.
You know, they never forget. My mm-hmm. brother passed away recently and I went home for the funeral, and I was at the hospital and I was praying for my brother, and all his friends weren't saved and they couldn't get out of the room quick enough.
Mm.
One of them came in, he said, "Oh," he said, "Uncle Tony, the police must know you're back in town." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Oh, they've circled the car park at the hospital 3 times. He said, "They never want to let you forget."
No, God's good. You know, you talk about the South African people that, you know, didn't realise you were black and ministering. Now that we're living over in America and we're, you know, mixing with all different people over there, it's amazing to still see over there the whole black-white thing is still very alive and well over there. And we minister in black churches and white churches, and you know, as Aussies, we can walk into that situation and say, you know what, just what you said, I don't see myself as a colour. Like, I don't see myself as white or black, like the same as you don't.
Yes, I'd like to give the KKK a bit of a run for their money. I'd like to preach amongst them. I got no fear or no brains either, but I know I have my faith in my God. If I was the priest of the KKK, mate, they wouldn't touch a finger on me, because my God's an awesome God.
That's right.
I don't know if you and Doug know the story, but when I was in prison, they tried to murder me several times.
Mm-hmm.
And just before I got out, one prison guard threatened me. And he said to me, he said, "Tony," he said, well, he didn't call me Tony, he called me a lot of names. And he said, "You'll be dead within a week." He said, "I guarantee you." And I wanted to smack him in the mouth, repent later. But I went to say that, and the Lord shut me mouth. I couldn't say a thing. And when the Lord opened my mouth, I said this to him. I said, "You be careful what you say to me or what you plan to do to me, because I am God's anointed."
Yeah.
"And I am the righteousness of God. Whatever you plan to do to me, God will do it to you first."
Wow.
And I said it 3 times. You know, 2 days later, he dropped dead.
Wow.
You know, they never tried to kill me again after that.
Mm.
But it was well known throughout the prison that they intended to kill me, and it was well known what I said.
Mm.
"You be careful. I belong to God.
Yeah.
I am God's anointed."
Yeah.
And Blake said to me the other day, he said, mate, you don't mess with my family. You don't know who my family are and what they're capable of. And I said, you know what? You don't know my family. His name's Jesus. My God is bigger than your God.
Yeah, amen to that. He sure is. He's a wonderful God.
Thanks, Karen, for coming in. Great to see you and Doug again.
Thank you.
And give my love to Wes and all the other team when you get back to America.
Yeah, we'll
and
do.
Especially to your family, and I keep you in prayer every day.
Thank you, Tony. It's been great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Tony, it was a real privilege to have Doug and Karen Stanton visit last year, wasn't it?
It was a great visit and a great time of fellowship, and I attended all his meetings, and they was fantastic.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. And age to age we stand.
Tomlin with How Great Is Our God. I hope you enjoyed our interviews over the last 2 weeks with Doug and Karen Stanton. We certainly do have a great God who wants to bless us abundantly with all the good things he has for us. And the only reason we don't see the blessing is because we get in the way and try and do things our way instead of his. King's Kids is back next week with Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison. And on behalf of Tony and the King's Kids team, I'm Heidi saying bye for now. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.